Preaching Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here to worship with you this morning. Just a few things I'd like to say before I go into the message. One is I think, did you remember some time ago that we mentioned Rosetta Yoder was interested in membership here, and she would like to be baptized in the church in Trout Creek. So this is all right with all of you. That will take place in 2 weeks from now, the way I understand it. Nothing changes on that. Also, I want to just say a few things. I have a book here that I want to just show you here. There's a book here. Some time ago, I was asked, when this was a manuscript, I was asked to proofread this book. It was not a book at that time. It's called A First Class Fighting Man. It's a diary of a boy that was in World War II that didn't want to go to the war and was in the camps and things. And it's just an interesting book of the diary. I'm going to put it here in the church library. I just thought I'd like to show you that and something else I was going to say about that. But anyway, it's not just an exciting book, but it's a book that you might be very interested in reading. I just thought it'd be good. You know, I was thinking of this book when this book came, and I'm reading another book on the Reformation. I'd like to just give you my opinion a little bit about this winter. You know, what are you going to do with your spare time? Are you going to read a book, or are you going to go to maybe all of the other media that is available out there? I just want to encourage you to read. You know, most of the other media is pretty superficial and small, and a book, I mean, you can spend hours and hours and get to the depth of something, I just would like to have you to consider those thoughts that book reading, how that's so much better. But even so, I know in reading some of the books that I'm reading, I'm concerned about some of the disturbing doctrines that are coming around and that have been around a long time. And I just want you to really be on the lookout for that kind of doctrine that you can get out there. There's so much of it, and we have to be alert to this teaching. I know recently, I think maybe some of you saw in the news, this neurosurgeon had this near-death experience, and he went to heaven and back. And he's supposed to have died, and he had meningitis, and his brain was dead, or basically dead, it says. And then when he went to heaven, he experienced these things. He experienced an amazing, experience of heaven, what he assumed was heaven. There was butterflies and things like that. And even that, I think we need to be cautious. When it's not in the scripture, we have to stick with the scripture. If it's not added, we can't supplement or add to the Bible or approve of non-Christians having experience like they're going to heaven. I just thought we should do that. You know, in this article, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Maybe, I mean, actually it's true what he said, but is it actually heaven or not? I noticed they never mentioned Jesus once in this article. But that Satan comes an angel of light. I think just a thought of warning. I read these, it's interesting, and I have to take it with a grain of salt, but I'm not sure if it's true or not. But anyway, that's some of the thoughts I had. I'd like to talk about something here. The Lord specially visited and visits various people in the New Testament, Mary and Simeon and Paul and others. And what is it about that he chose them? The reason I'd like to know that is because I want the Lord to visit me in a special way. And I just would like to look into this. What is it about that? I remember to be chosen of the Lord in a special way like this is just a blessing to have in your life. I remember when I was a boy, and I think everybody can somewhat identify with this, the captain of the baseball team that was sort of a spontaneous baseball game, he would choose these people, and I'd hope, oh, I hope I had this position. No, he went over me on that one. So then I thought, well, at least I should have a respectable one of some sort. Surely not right field. But that's what happened. Right field, there it went. John Schmidt, he's got this song. I think you remember this song. He's talking about this boy that was chosen to be out in the right field. He was there he was there amongst the daisies, and this ball came and fell in his hand. Anyway, that's beside the point. But we can try ever so much to be a good first baseman or a home run hitter, but if you don't have the gift, it won't happen. Maybe in your genetic makeup, you're just going over. You're not chosen. It's not you. I was reading my cereal box, as I think most of us do sometimes on the Cheerios. There's a man on there I noticed on Friday I was reading, Dwight Phillips. He could jump 28 foot 2 1/4 inches in a broad jump. Now that is an amazing, something that very few people in the world probably will ever do. You just weren't given that. I doubt if anybody in this place could jump 20 foot. And simply some people are given things and some are not given. You weren't endowed with these abilities. Regardless how hard you try, it wouldn't happen. And you might think that's unfair, and in a sense, the world is unfair. It's not equal. Things are not that way. But there is a game, and that's the game I'd like to talk about, and the word game isn't the right word, but I'm using it as an analogy. There is a game where the playing field is level. Everything is equal for you in the spiritual side. Nobody has an advantage over anybody else, and that is the crown of life. The crown of life is given to anybody. It doesn't matter if you're weak, it doesn't matter if you're handicapped, it doesn't matter if you're strong, it doesn't matter what. Bible says, whosoever believes on me shall not perish and have eternal life. I love that word, whosoever. There's nothing withheld. It's whosoever. Whosoever means the poorest person in India to the richest royal family in the royal palaces of England. Doesn't matter. That's a wonderful promise, and I love that promise. However, I'd actually like to talk about something even more special than that. However wonderful that is, to be chosen for eternal life. And you're chosen on the basis of your choice, don't forget. God chooses you because you choose him. He doesn't choose you arbitrarily. He chooses for a reason. Now, some of the saints have attained unto a higher place in God's hearts. He mentions these people. For instance, he mentions the woman that with her hair dried his feet. It says, and we have the case of Anna the prophetess. We have different people that excelled in their devotion to the Lord. And it's not because they were given a special gift or ability. And neither are we excluded from this special place beyond the gift of eternal life or the gift of the grace that's given to us. That there's a place beyond that. That's what I'd like to talk about this morning, especially to talk about this extra devotion, this extra thing that the Lord chose in people. Now, I believe that these stories are given. I'll show you in a minute. I believe you believe that too. That these stories are given so that we too may know what pleases the Lord, and maybe he will visit us in a special way. Maybe we won't be written a book or anything like in the Bible or anything like that, but we know that he visited us. And in the day of judgment, when we get to heaven, when the Lord looks at us, then he'll say, he'll have a special place for us because of our devotion to him. Now take, for instance, Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, wouldn't any young woman love to be chosen of God to bear this baby? Simeon said, yes, or maybe I should say it this way. Yes, she was well-favored. It says she was highly favored of the Lord. However, even in spite of that, just a side note, Simeon said that a sword will pierce your soul too. And I think he was talking about that the anguish that she would endure to see her son die on the cross. But nevertheless, she was highly favored of the Lord, and she pleased the Lord in her life, and he visited her. So how can we be special in that way? That's the question I'd like to answer this morning. Maybe we don't have the gift of the prophecy, or maybe we won't be a Billy Graham, or we won't be a missionary in China, or do any great thing. That's beside the point. That doesn't make that you're not just as special as any of these. It's not something that you can help that you're not one of these, but you can do something to especially please Jesus and to be especially visited. And we are told why in these places. I don't want to be average. I would like to be able to jump 28 foot 2.5 inches in my spiritual life, 2.25. I don't want to be mediocre. I want to be highly favored of the Lord. And it's all in our choices. It's not a thing of glory. It's not something that you were, you know, today the people worship people who have this special endowment, and yet it was not given to them. I mean, it was given to them. It wasn't that they did it necessarily, although they do train for it and develop it, and I admire them for that. But nevertheless, there's a special person in the book of Acts I'd like to talk to about and just sort of dwell on this particular special person, Acts 10. I'd like to read some of this story. I'm not going to read all of it for the sake of time, but I'm just going to read down to about the 8th verse. Acts 10, first verse. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, The prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now sent men to Joppa and called for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest do. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. I'm going to stop at that because it gets the essence of what I like to talk about. Now, you know, this Cornelius seemed, when you first read that, he seemed to be an unlikely candidate to be the recipient of this special visitation of the Lord. First of all, he was a Gentile of Gentiles. He wasn't just your average Gentile. He was, and the Gentiles were despised by the Jews, or at least, I don't suppose they were all despised, but they were at least rejected in their company because even the Lord had told them to do that. But now is the time coming when the Lord is going to change that. But he was a Gentile of the Gentiles, and he was a Roman official on top of that, a captain of men. And he was a person, because of being a soldier and a captain, he is a person usually associated with somebody with power and all the things that go with that type of thing, arrogance and corruption and everything else. But Cornelius was not the usual. It says he was a God-fearing man, and he was devout. In that, I simply have to believe, in that he adopted the Jewish God, and I'm saying that only to identify. He was a God of all, but particularly that's what most people thought. Because he did that, he was humble and willing to take whatever the Lord taught him. He was there. And when it talks about that he feared, he was God-fearing. Now, fear doesn't mean that you're scared of God. It means that God is your authority. You'll obey him. Now, I'm sure that it's got to be this way, to be called devout and God-fearing, that Cornelius loved every commandment of God. In the Old Testament, it talks about that. I love your statutes, Lord. I love them. Sometimes I have struggled with loving them until I recognize that I need to love even some of these things that are hard to accept. For him, it surely wasn't a picking and choosing, nor a minimizing or getting rounded or anything. There it was. God said it, therefore I do it. It's got to be that he believed that. And he was devout, it says. He was devoted to God. Nobody else, nothing else. Devotion talks about loyalty. It talks about that it doesn't matter what. He believes in God. He's loyal to him. He doesn't care. You might not understand God. A lot of times we don't understand God, but and Abraham didn't. He himself was one of them. He was bewildered and puzzled what God was talking about. But he believed him and so forth. Now, continue on down through there a little bit on Cornelius. It says here that he feared God with all his house. To me, that stands out as something very special. His whole house. You know, his words and his life taught well, evidently. We need to take something from that. It teaches us. The family evidently took note of his devotion and his sincerity and believed in how he believed. Insincerity doesn't provoke belief in a person. He had to be that way. Continuing on, some of the other things he did that shows us how that God chose him as something special. Now, the next one I want to dwell on quite a while, because I just thought I'd pick one of these out. Doesn't mean that there aren't that what Cornelius did was all that we have to do. It's just that here is an example of what God picked out specially in this case, not at the expense of some of the other things, for instance, like charity. The next one was, it says he gave alms to the people and prayed to God all the way. In other translations, it says that he was generous to the poor. This, in several other translations, use the word generous. So I'm going to latch on to the word generous. Generosity without expectation of reward is a very powerful witness. As I was studying this, my mind went back years ago, and just to show to you how a little incident sticks to your mind of generosity. I remember I was on an airplane, and somehow they got our seats mixed up, and I couldn't sit beside my wife, and there was a man sitting at a coveted seat, in my opinion, along the window, and he saw the problem. And he offered all on his own. He said, I'll trade with you. I said, well, I got a center seat. You sure you don't want to sit in a center seat? Yep, I'll sit in a center seat. Doesn't matter. And here's a big man. He sat in the center seat. Even to this day, I remember that. Generosity is costly. Whether in money, time, or whatever, it is. In a later place that I didn't read, I'm sorry, I should have picked this out. I think it's later on in the chapter. It says that the angel that spoke to Cornelius said, I need to pick that out somewhere in here, but I forgot now where it was at. But it says that that your gifts are coming before God as a memorial. The angel that came said, that's the reason I came. They came as a gift. The gift that came up to God is an offering of remembrance of what you did. Evidently, God added these generous gifts up. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they came up as a memorial. And finally, they filled up. And God said, you know, this is the man I want. He is generous. And he's doing these things for me. And so this is a wonderful man or he adopted totally what God wanted him to do. And generosity, you know, sometimes we would do it, but we don't know how to do it. or we're afraid, or we're vulnerable, or some other things. Last week I had an experience, a little bit of one. An old lady came to the trust shop, and she wanted to pick some of the, I think it was last Thursday, she wanted to pick up some chips of wood for her stove. Well, I don't mind a bit giving the chips of wood. The problem is that you give people permission to take it, and then they come on Sunday, they come in other times, even though you just give them one time. And furthermore, you get sued. They'd fall over the sticks and stuff. They'd sue, and I would doubt that poor people wouldn't do that. So my first thoughts were, no, that's just too much work. I took another glance at her and noticed that she was wearing a poor dress and her coat. She was cold, it seemed like. And anyway, now before I go on, I want to tell you something. Just in case you think whatever I'm going to tell you that I'm generous or I'm thinking I'm promoting my generosity, I'm going to tell you what I really thought. I thought that I was thinking, should I turn her down? All of a sudden I thought, you're studying this sermon, you old hypocrite. Anyway, I went out and I loaded her wood on myself because I was afraid of these things. But I was thinking I was doing that. Yeah, generosity, you become vulnerable. There are times when you don't know. But nevertheless, I just feel that we need to be careful, that we don't just not do things because they're costly. You know, when I put a check in the mail or in the offering, sometimes when I put that check in, the poor people that I am hoping gets this check are so far away in my mind that I have a hard time being satisfied. I'd like to have the feeling of, here, this poor person, I'm going to give him a sandwich, I'm going to give him some poor person in Ethiopia I could put a face to, but I don't. I'm not able to. Doesn't matter. In my heart, I know that check, whatever it is truly going to go to CEM, for instance, Christian Aid Ministries, for maybe the Liberian poor people over there, or whatever. Now, to give to the poor, to be generous, isn't only money or only something poor only. I was looking up something in our concordance, and it said in there that in the scripture it says it's sometimes given as for spiritually poor or physically poor. I'm especially right now giving it the example of physical, but also spiritual is included in that. You know, the world is full of poor people. On the cereal box, it said 1 in 6 people in America are hungry. And I have my doubts about that figure, to tell you the truth. I would believe that in the world, but I just wonder about some of that. But it doesn't matter. I read an article in a trade magazine. This is from a non-Christian perspective. It had to do with, why are there places in the world that are poor and just keep on being poorer and poorer and poorer? But I think it's still good for us to get into the lives of those people. Understand, some of those people are just trapped. They individually can't get out. This was an example of a young man who was the author of this story. He was born in India of middle class or caste people. Somehow his dad managed to escape the system and went to the big city and got a college education for his sons. And he became a writer. And so a number of years later, he was 9 years old when he left. A number of years later, he went back to his birthplace and asked one of his relatives that lived in the poor little village that he was from if he could live with them for 2 weeks. Yeah, they said you can, 50 cents a day. That's what it's going to cost. Well, he discovered what 50 cents a day is all they lived on and what all that included. It's pretty little. He lived in a hut. People around here, him, it says, with utter poverty, just like his relatives. And it was his relative was a man and woman in their 50s, I think, or late 40s. He had to sleep on the ground. There's no mattress. And breakfast was a thin broth of rice he's writing these things. It's he's one that says it's thin broth of rice, that's all he got. For dinner, it was a couple of pieces of bread and a ball of rice for the evening. He added up all the calories. It was 1,600 calories. Some of these people worked hard, and you know that you need at least 2,500 calories just normally to live a good, ordinary life. There was no meat in the diet whatsoever. It had only to do with vegetables and these things. So his relative, his man, he got to work 3 or 4 days a week that he got to work. He went out, and since he was a low class or caste man, he didn't always have work. But the first day he got there, he got $2.50 a day. So this young man, this author, went with him the second day, and that day he got only $1.75. One day he got $3.50. And work was hard, hauling stones and digging. It was 118 degree heat, and it was miserable, and it stank, and it was awful, according to this author. This author offered to work to taking his relative's place. They said, "No, you can't work. You look too fat. You can't work." All the other people were thin. So a local man in this 2 weeks there, more wealthy, then noticed that and wanted to make friends with him. So he took him in and had dinner with him, or he asked him to come to dinner. But he noticed this man wasn't eating dinner with him. So he said, "Why aren't you eating dinner?" And he didn't say anything, but all of a sudden it soaked in. This man was in a different caste system. He would refuse to eat dinner with him because he was different than he was. That's all. There's nothing more to that than that. Just so you know, that kind of thing happens. Then the last day, the author decided he's going to go to town and to one of the big stores that was available somewhere, and he got a big meal. He got rice and chicken and meat and potatoes and everything for this man and his wife and his children and his friends. They had a big meal. They were very happy about that meal. Nothing was left but bones, and so he got ready to go next morning, and she said, and the lady of the house came and said, "Could I have that bone, those bones? We're going to have some soup tomorrow, those beans." So this author went home to a well-fed life. That's just a story from a non-Christian perspective. Pure religion and undefiled is this, that we visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction. Our neighbors today, because we have the media, our neighbors today are not just across the street or down the block or a few miles from town. They are thousands of miles away. Let's not forget that. That our neighbors are those that God has put in our lives. Do you want God to visit you like Cornelius? We too must be generous. Obviously, this was put here. Obviously, this was a deciding factor of God when he was making decisions. What am I? Who do I want to choose? He wouldn't have written this if he didn't make that some of this this criteria that he used to choose a man. We need to be giving to the spiritually, emotionally, and physical people for them. Just a quick little example of what I'm trying to show is in the previous chapter in Acts 9, it says this in Acts 9:36, just a few verses before. It says that there was at Joppa, a certain disciple whose name was, I'm just going to go sort of fast with this, whose name was Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which he did, and then she died. You remember the story, she died. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh, the town of Lydia was nigh to Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there, and so they sent him, desiring him should come, that he should come. And then when he came, they brought him into the upper chamber where she was laying there. And it says that all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. She was raised from the dead. And evidently, we wouldn't have this information unless we have to decide that the Lord looked at all of the her generosity and decided this woman needs to be raised from the dead. And he gave her his hand to lift her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Isn't that a wonderful story of a faithful young woman that did this? Pure religion and undefiled is this. And from various verses in the Bible, we believe that a tenth of our income should be the Lord's. A tenth is an indication of his ownership. You know, to give him a tenth and to positively give him a tenth of it shows that you can give the Lord a lot more than a tenth. But if you give him a tenth, it shows that he owns it all. It talks about that in Malachi, and that's a subject all of its own, how that this is all for the Lord. Just a few words yet left about the prayers that it says. And in the verse where it talks about it, says that the angel told Cornelius, he said, your generosity and your prayers have come up, and the Lord has noticed these things. It's got to be very important if you want to go the second step in the highest step, let's put it that way, a step that you can take. You don't have to be special in any way, but you can become special. Prayer of Cornelius went up to the Lord. I can imagine what Cornelius was praying to the Lord for. I can imagine him saying, thank you, Lord, for all of the things you've given me. Thank you that I am able to give to the poor. And his devotion, obviously, talks about that. He's telling the Lord all his prayers, thank you, Lord, and I love you, Lord. And I can imagine him saying, asking the Lord, Lord, I'd like to know you better so that I can serve you better. Cornelius didn't have a Bible. He might have had the Old Testament, but he didn't have the New Testament. He didn't know this. And he also was pleading for the cause of the kingdom. And because of this, he was the recipient of the first example of the recipient of the Holy Spirit given to the Gentiles. He was given a special, very special gift, the Holy Spirit in his life because of these things. And today we know him as this person, that the Lord chose him to be to the bringing of the Holy Spirit. As I say these things, I know I clued in on a few of these. I'm not suggesting that this is all you need to do. I'm only suggesting that because, like I mentioned earlier, that it says that even you give all your gifts to the poor and you have not charity. But I think what it's assuming those are already there. Compassion and charity go close together. So today, I hope that you all, and that's definitely my testimony, that I don't want to be mediocre. I want to be one of these that God could visit. Sure, there might have been others that God could have visited equally well. I'm not sure how that works. But definitely, Cornelius is one of the highest ones in God's eyes because of the very things I talked about. So let's go to the next highest step, not be stuck in the low, barely inside the gate Christian. I'm going to close with that. If there's somebody who has a testimony or anything you'd like